All right, 1380 WPHM. Monday mornings is our Made in Michigan Monday segment. And boy, we've talked to so many interesting people that make food and clothes and other manufacturing. And our next guest has forged an interesting second career for himself. Robert Luther is with us right now, the Blue Water Blacksmith. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing well. We've talked before. You are actively involved with the Lolito's Legacy Foundation. That's the capacity in which we talked before. You're a financial guy, I think, professionally, right?
Actually, I work for a data company in New York City. And I do sales and marketing. I do a lot of data analysis, and that's my day job. So I travel back and forth to New York once a month, spend a little bit of time there. And my new kind of favorite hobby now is becoming a blacksmith.
How in the world did you become a blacksmith?
Well, interesting story. I've always worked with wood, always refinished antiques, always done painting of furniture and stuff like that. And one night, I was watching a show on TV, the History Channel, called Forged in Fire. Mm-hmm. And I said to my wife as I'm watching the show, I said, you know, I think I could probably do that. Terrifying as it was, sparks, flames, and all that crazy stuff. I tried it. And I went out and I bought what I would call blacksmithing for beginners, a small anvil and some stuff you can get at Harbor Freight. I came home and I bought some half-inch wrenches and I forged them into bottle openers. And that was kind of my start. And that's what kind of got me hooked on it. So,
And I mean, it sounds like the kind of thing where once you figured out you could do that, you said, what else could I make?
Well, and so there was a tremendous amount of fear for me at the beginning, you know. And listen, I got my war wounds and scars to prove it.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
It's a dangerous hobby if you don't take the necessary precautions. But once I kind of got past that, yeah, it very quickly blossomed into blades. Mm-hmm. So I call myself a bladesmith.
Okay.
There's a big difference between a blacksmith that makes everything out of metal and then a bladesmith.
Okay.
And so I prefer the term bladesmith because 100% of the work that I do is on making blades.
All right. So how? Walk us through the process. How do you do this?
So every bladesmith or blacksmith has to have a forge. And a forge is a way to heat up the metal. And the metal heat gets to around 1,700 degrees. At around 1,700 degrees, it's glowing orange and it's ripe for movings. And the moving is using a big hammer and hammering it flat. But you got to have the forge to be able to do that. So I went out and I purchased a forge. It's a two-burner forge that runs on propane. Mm-hmm. Some blacksmiths use coal forges. I like the quicker version, which is a propane forge. I have a big horned anvil, probably weighs 400 pounds, and it sits in the middle of my shop. And so from the forge to the anvil and a tremendous amount of hammering, I can actually get this steel to take shape.
How do you know that the fire is hot enough? I mean, how do you know how to make the right temperature fire?
It's actually the color of the steel.
Okay.
So the color of the steel gets to this this kind of a glowing orange color. And you can actually burn steel, too, if you let it sit too long. So when it becomes more of a yellow color, then you know you're it's getting too hot. Uh-huh. And if it's kind of a red color, it's not hot enough. Okay. So it's that orange is the trick. And so once I get it to that point, once I get to that orange kind of glowing color, I can pull it out and I can start hammering it. And then unfortunately, you only get 30 seconds or so of hammer time and then it's got to go back in the forge.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a lot of repeated in and out of the forge and hammering.
You brought in some samples of your work and I realize that it's radio and people can't see it, but kind of describe some of the things you brought in today.
So the very first blade I ever made, I used, which is very popular among smiths, is using a farrier's rasp. So they would have used a file like this to shoe a horse back in the day. Uh-huh. It's not a softer metal because it has to be hardened in order for it to hold its shape, but it's one that you can heat up and you can actually turn into a knife shape. So rasps and file knives are very, very popular. For me, though, the novelty of bladesmithing is using railroad spikes. So I get this big supply of old 100-year-old railroad spikes. It's a softer metal, so I can actually heat it up quickly. I can forge it to shape quickly. And then I heat treat it, quench it in oil so it hardens. And then I can get it on my grinder and I can start this knife shape. Mm-hmm. I do use a lot of old tractor steel, old leaf springs, anything with a high carbon content, which is what helps keep that blade edge. A lot of leaf springs. Most bladesmiths like me use a leaf spring to make knives.
Okay.
So I try to find as much of that as I can.
Yeah, yeah. Where do you find all your metal?
So lucky for me, I have a supplier, the antique store, the antique spot over on in East China.
Okay.
Rob Ring is the owner, and he has all kinds of different types of metal outside, just kind of sitting around, and I go and pick through it, and it gives me the opportunity to find kind of what I need. And I bring it home and I forge it.
So you're repurposing old whatever kind of pieces of metal you can find from automobiles, from other equipment.
Yeah. So a real success story recently was I had a gentleman purchased a knife from me, and I was able to use a tractor leaf spring steel, and it was from a 1950 Ford tractor. So the cool part was that it had a tremendously cool story. I don't go and buy brand new steel. A lot of smiths like to use brand new steel. They understand the properties of the steel. I prefer not to. I actually prefer to use something old and upcycle it. So Ford steel is really, really cool. I've used GM steel before. I've used Dodge steel. I think the coolest story, Paul, for me was I found a horse-drawn cultivator from the 1800s.
Wow.
And that's a process they did back in those days called Bessemer steel. Very, very different way to make steel back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
This cultivator was sitting out in a farmer's field rotting, half buried under the ground, and a friend of mine found it. He cut it up and he brought it to me. And so I can make blades out of steel that's over 150 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
That's really, really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't bring one of those with me today, but old Bessemer steel blades, which have a very high carbon content,
mm-hmm.
make great knives.
And are these knives, so what do people do with these knives? Are these mainly ornamental, or do they use them for work around the house?
Well, yes. So both. Like
yeah.
the Ford knife that I just made, we had it etched, and it's going to be like a showcase piece for him. He probably won't use it, but I make my knives with thick spines because I want people to use them.
Mm-hmm.
So my specialty style knife is a camp knife. So it's a long, 6 to 8 inches long.
Sure.
It's got a big belly on it and it's got a thick spine. So if mm-hmm. they want to, chop up wood for a campfire, they want to gut a deer. I mean, they can do whatever they want.
Well, right.
These knives are meant for utilitarian purposes.
Neat.
Not just to sit on a shelf. I'd rather them use them.
Is this mostly self-taught, or did you have an apprentice that you, or were you apprenticed by anybody else that you learned firsthand from?
So if you ask anybody, I'm not a good student. I don't listen well. So this was completely self-taught.
Mm-hmm.
And nowadays with the internet, YouTube, and all these different facets, you can learn anything you want.
That's true.
But you got to be willing to put in the practice and all of that. So watching Forged in Fire on TV, and I've seen every episode twice. I mean, I watch it religiously. It's a really great show because they go through the process every single time that the show's on. They go through the process of how to make a blade. And so just that repetitive watching and practicing is what mm-hmm. really taught me how to do this. Now, I've made a ton of mistakes. I've burned a bunch of blades. I broke a bunch of blades. But that's how you learn.
Right, right, exactly.
And out of all of that comes this new hobby of mine, which I love.
Yeah, that's really cool. So what's next for this hobby? Do you see this? Are there other things you want to make that you haven't mastered yet?
So I get requests all the time for different stuff. I got to tell you, I'm really happy making knives. It doesn't mean that down the road I won't maybe do something else.
Mm-hmm.
The way my shop is set up, though, it's really only meant for bladesmithing. I've people ask me to make like pots and pan holders and different things. The problem with that is you got to get all different kinds of metal for that, and I don't keep a big stock of that.
Mm-hmm.
Where I see myself is making more higher end, higher quality blades, and even maybe getting into like short swords.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I look online all the time for master smiths who sell their knives, and the amount they're selling them for is a lot more than what I sell mine for. So there's what I'm aspiring to.
What does your family think of this new hobby?
Well, my wife thinks I'm crazy, and and that's okay because one of the interesting things about this hobby is that it's really great stress relief.
I bet.
I mean, you can imagine, right? You're out pounding on steel for a couple of hours. My job is stressful enough, and raising kids and having a family, it comes with its share of stress.
Sure.
This is a great stress relief.
I bet it is.
Now, my 16-year-old son, he spends time with me out in the shop. We actually forge together. We do what's called tandem hammering. So we hammer steel together. After 2 hours of hammering on steel, the shoulder gets a little sore.
There you go.
So he comes out to help me. My kids and I, we always talk about it. We watch the show together, and it's kind of become a household name. Blacksmithing or bladesmithing has become a household name mm-hmm. in my house.
So, I bet it has.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a lot of fun.
So you do custom order design. So if somebody is interested in having you make a knife, what do they need to do?
So I have a couple of – I'm obviously utilizing social media.
Yep.
I have a Blue Water Blacksmith Facebook page, and then I have a Blue Water Blacksmith Instagram page. And my goal is just to show some of the recent work that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
I have people contact me through there to place orders. I actually have a website, bluewaterblacksmith.com, where you can see some of the most recent projects that I've had, that I've done or I've completed. And you can message me or my cell phone numbers on there too if you're interested, if people want to have a look or maybe call and ask. I get a lot of people calling asking, hey, can you do this? Mm-hmm. Or have you ever thought of this? And honestly, every knife I make is different.
Yeah.
There's no two that are the same. So the sky's the limit.
Sounds like fun. Yeah. You're enjoying this, aren't
you? I love it. It is so much fun for me. I'll tell you, the coolest thing in the world, Paul, to be able to say that I made a knife with my bare hands, I don't think there's anything cooler in the world than that.
We live in an age where people just don't make much of anything with their bare hands.
They don't.
To be able to do that is...
Well, and then to give it to somebody and have them use it.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I have knives right now that transcend the globe. I have somebody who owns one of my knives that lives in Germany, and he uses it every day. I have knives that are out east, they're out west. I got them all over the country now because people want a good quality knife that you can't buy on a website or in a store.
They can get it from the Blue Water Blacksmith, Robert Luther. Robert, thanks for coming in. This one was really cool stuff.
Paul, this was really fun for me.
All right, so Made in Michigan Monday here on WPHM with Robert Luther, the Blue Water Blacksmith.